Hey there, Chamber friends. Jay Revel here. Welcome to another episode of the Tallahassee Chamber Podcast. We are delighted to have another exceptional guest with us today. We have my good friend and Chamber board member, Katrina Roll, President and CEO of the United Way of the Big Bend, with us. Katrina is a wonderful community partner, a tremendous board member for our organization, and someone who is on the front lines every day working with various partners in our community to address numerous needs. And right now is an interesting time for an organization like the United Way. As you all well know, recently our community and our neighboring communities was affected in a dramatic fashion by the impacts of Hurricane Michael. And we've brought Katrina in today to both talk about the United Way's role in that and then their overall role in our community and how you can participate in everything that they do. So welcome, Katrina. We're so lovely to have you with us.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
When Hurricane Michael hit slightly over a month ago, lots of immediate attention on a national scale. Now we're in that phase where recovery is in full swing, rebuilding is in full swing. Talk to us a little bit about the United Way's role in those efforts in our broader community.
So when the hurricane initially hit, when we got back to work, because we first day back, we had power, but we didn't have phones or internet. So, and we started calling agency partners who are in the trenches, like Red Cross, Big Bend 211, Second Harvest, Capital Area Community Action Agency, to see what was happening, what were they already seeing, and how could we help. And so our immediate role was to see what support we could lend to those partners, i.e. getting pallets of water, 25 pallets of water from our United Way Worldwide connection for Second Harvest, trying to support the volunteers with Red Cross, and just seeing where we could fit in and help, including a donation drive that we did, and taking food and water to about 75 folks over in Gaston County that we immediately identified. We did that in collaboration with the chamber, as a matter of fact. So now we're moving to the intermediate long-term recovery efforts. We've been having meetings with FEMA. We actually have a meeting this afternoon with one of our agency partners, still looking to see what are some of the intermediate and long-term recovery needs. We have also raised dollars that we'll be putting out into the community for this effort as well.
Wow, Katrina, yeah, a lot going on and a lot of roles there where the United Way can participate for sure. What are some of the impacts that you all have seen in other communities? And obviously, as some of the national attention might be fading, it's important to remember there are long-term impacts to some of these communities.
Absolutely. Well, let me start saying that United Way is also supporting the efforts or partner with Rebuild 850, because we cannot forget the panhandle. I am, as the CEO of the United Way of the Big Bend, 3 days a week I am on a call that United Way Worldwide, United Way of Florida, and all the United Ways in the Panhandle participate on to continuously identify the needs and ways in which United Way can be working in this space. But in meeting with some of the folks in the counties that are in our footprint that were hit hardest, we know in Gaston County there's still some child care centers that haven't reopened, one in Liberty County. That's huge. If a parent can't drop their child off someplace, it's very difficult for them to go to work. And many folks don't have jobs to go to. We know that timber jobs have been lost in Gaston County. We know in Franklin County that there are a lot of the fishermen have been impacted. They don't have boats. Long-term housing is a problem in Franklin County. When we dropped off some things for a distribution center in Liberty, maybe about 3 weeks ago now, many of the stores and businesses hadn't opened yet in Liberty County. I think they may be up and running now, but the impact, the economic impact, is going to be huge. And you're going to talk about people who they literally don't have a job anymore, and how do we help them get the skills that they need to move on to something else? And that's an emotional move on too, as opposed to, I mean, in addition to an economic need to move on.
Sure. The community sure has gone through a lot lately. We also have the holidays coming up. I'd like to just kind of switch gears with you a little bit. I know United Way has had a huge role in the community traditionally through Thanksgiving and Christmas with different drives and stuff. Can you tell us a little bit about your plans for the holidays ahead this year?
So one of the things we're going to be doing this year on December 6th, we have a partnership with the Junior League, AMWAT Moving and Storage, and the Tallahassee Democrat has allowed us to use space there. We're having a drive. In addition to if people want to donate funds towards the areas that have been hit, we also will have a clothing drive identified. Like, I know some of the elderly need coats, some of the kids need coats, and a toy drive, because we're not forgetting about the needs. We're going to be addressing the needs long term, but we want to make sure that these kids have a good Christmas as well, because their parents may not be able to do the things that they've normally been able to do this Christmas for them.
Sure. There's no doubt the United Way plays a huge role in the community and helping so many people. From your perspective, what do you think the historical impact of the United Way organization has been on building the Tallahassee that we live in today?
Well, you know, if you look at it from a sheer numeric standpoint, United Way has invested over $150 million into this community since our existence almost 76 years ago. But beyond that, what we are really good at is convening partners and bringing folks to the table to find solutions to the pressing problems of our community. And we take that role very seriously, and we're going to continue to take that role on as we move forward.
Katrina, you have been with the United Way now for almost 4 years. You were hired in 2015 as president and CEO, and can you tell our listeners a little bit about your story, your experience with the United Way, and then I think we'll touch on in a little bit sort of the changes that are happening at your organization.
So my actual background is in business and law. I had 4 years in the corporate sector before going to law school, and practiced law 3 years with a large firm in Miami as a commercial litigator, and then I had my own practice for about 6 years before getting ready to transition to this role. I served, believe it or not, I served on the board for the United Way for 3 years, and when my predecessor left, I requested to be on the search committee. But when the job, the position description came out, I thought it just spoke to me in a way that quite frankly surprised me, and I applied for the position. I think there are either 140 or 160, one of those two numbers, folks have applied for this position, and they kept narrowing it down. And when I got the call to say that I had gotten the position, I literally screamed. I was just so surprised and happy to take on this role of serving the community. I mean, it's just what I enjoy doing.
And you have a great excitement that I think is very contagious. You're very passionate about the work that you do, and it always comes off. We see it a lot in our chamber board meetings and just other community meetings where you're playing a critical role, and that's very important, especially now here in the last year or so, as your organization has gone through some strategic changes and a lot of real evaluations of where your community is in the community today and what impacts you should be making. Can you tell us a little bit about what that process has been like and where the United Way is headed?
So, yeah, I think I'd like to kind of give a little bit of background in terms of the philanthropic landscape is just not the same as it once was. And donors today are far more sophisticated, and they want to know how their dollars are making an impact. And, you know, you couple that with the fact that we have this tremendous report with the ALICE report. United Way of Florida commissioned Rutgers University to look at the data for all 67 counties in the state of Florida. And when you're armed with data showing where communities are struggling in terms of people living in poverty and the working poor.
Now, ALICE. Tell everyone what ALICE stands for.
So ALICE stands for Asset Limited, Income Constrained Employed. So these are people who have jobs, but they're still struggling to make ends meet from day to day. But that also includes people in poverty. So, I mean, and that's a real something important that people need to understand, because it's not just the working poor. Poverty is a part of that, that equation as well. And so when you get data about your community, we had a speaker recently, Lisa Ling. She says, now that you know, you can't pretend that you don't. We can't pretend that we don't have this data, that we can't do anything or shouldn't do anything about this data. And so that data coupled with what our donors want and need from us really was the perfect recipe for a new strategic reset. And we were incredibly blessed to have been selected by North Highland Management Consulting Company as one of three global projects this year. And what that meant for us is that we had a team of six consultants working with us and facilitating our strategic planning process. And that's been a huge lift, because I can tell you, I mean, I have a great board, but we could not have done what we've done without North Highland.
Yeah. Another fine member of the Greater Tallahassee Chamber of Commerce.
Absolutely.
We have a lot of firsthand experience with North Highland from when they aided us in our strategic plan rebuilding effort there a little bit a few years ago, and they do tremendous work, and the United Way does tremendous work, and it's great to see so many great things that are happening in your organization. What is something that you would say maybe you're most excited about in the future of the United Way?
I think I'm most excited about our strategic direction. I mean, when we have five outcome areas that we're going to be focusing on and looking at the impact that we can have collaboratively in the community. Housing, which includes looking at moving people from homelessness to shelters, from shelters to transitional housing, to affordable housing, and keeping them there. We have education or early learning, that includes elementary age and below. We know that we have to get kids ready for kindergarten. We know that there's a critical year, that third grade year with the testing. How do we make sure that they have the foundation and set them up for success? Safety net. When people have times of financial distress, what are the programs that we have in place or should have in place to support this population? The aging workforce, now that includes folks that are already retired as well. You know, we've seen them either, we see them at Walmart, or we see them working at Publix. Some are there because they really want to be there. Some are there because they have to be there. How do we help change the narrative for those who have to be there? Mm-hmm. And then the skills. How do we move people from poverty with the skill set? Or move people up the ladder and from the working poor on up. And each of these are really points of entry to our human services programs being able to say, well, if you're coming in of housing, you probably have another need someplace else, and how can we help you there too? So how do we capture the necessary data at the various entry points and help change people's lives together? So I'm real excited about that. Anytime you do a reset or anything new, they're growing pains. They're people that you got to communicate until people really get it. But this is the right thing for our community, and I think it's going to make a big difference.
Well, I agree with you. And I think, you know, like I said, the United Way does great work. You've got great people who both work for your organization and are involved on your board of directors. How big is the board of directors? And just give people a sense of Who is your current leadership?
Okay, so we have 35 folks on the board, and I know that sounds like a lot, but it really doesn't feel like a lot. It really does not feel like a lot. And my current board chair is Skip Foster, publisher of the Tallahassee Democrat. My immediate past chair, Bernice Cox, also on the chamber board. Well, so is Skip with the Bacall Group. And then my incoming chair, which he'll take his office in March, is Derek McGee with Johnson & Blanton. So we have folks from Mark O'Brien to Sue Dick to, I'm going to forget, Liz Hurst with FSU, yeah. Dr. Robinson with FAMU. We have a great representation. We have Leon County Government on the board. It's the people that touch this community in so many ways that add value to board service. And I've said before, and I always joke, but I mean it, I have a great board. I'll tell people, my board is better than your board. and I'm sure everybody may feel like they have great boards, but I really have a great board that's really engaged in the work of the United Way, and they have been incredibly engaged throughout this strategic planning process.
Tallahassee is full of such dynamic people, and the chamber has a great board too. Some of those people are on the same board. Yeah, you're on the board. It's just full of really great people who want to make a difference and want to make sure that our community is great. Can you tell us a little bit about your love for the community? What do you like about Tallahassee? What's your family like? What are you involved in outside of your work life?
Well, so first of all, I love this community. I've been here since 97. I will admit that I came here kicking and screaming because I grew up in Miami, and this is a place that I said I wouldn't live when I was growing up, but it has been the best place for my husband and I to raise our family. Outside of the community, we have four kids, and one is a fourth year student at University of Florida, so I don't necessarily count him in all my day-to-day work, but I have a ninth grader, a 10th grader, an 11th grader, and you're talking about three different sports teams. Thank God when track season comes around, they all run track, all on one team. But right now I have a girls' soccer team, a boys' soccer team, and a boys' basketball team, and just trying to coordinate that and be there. And I am my daughter's Girl Scout leader. I've been in that role since they were in first grade. And when I got this job, I got some text messages from the moms and some calls saying the girls were concerned that I was not going to be able to be their Girl Scout leader anymore. And I said, as long as they want me to lead, I will be there. And I tell them my little speech every year that when you graduate, I'm going to be right there because I had a hand in your success and you are my girls. And so I really treasure the time that I have with the girls. And so, and I am also, I'm on the University of Florida Alumni Association board. I am the president-elect of that national board as well. So, and I'm on the board, I'm the board chair of McClay School Board. So I am involved. And in my role, in as United Way president, I serve on a number of boards as well. So thank God I'm a morning person. I often start my day at 4:30, yeah. And but I'm not worth anything after about 9:30 yeah, p.m. at night.
I imagine your email inbox stays fairly full.
Oh my gosh! If there's a secret,
yeah,
to really successfully managing that, I mean, I want to know.
Let me know
it
if you figure it out. Yeah, I don't have it.
But I do try and take care of those first thing in the morning and make a note for things that are pending. But it's a lot.
Yeah.
And well, it's the home email, too.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, we're very lucky to have you in Tallahassee. We're glad that you got, whether it was kicked or dragged or screamed here or whatever it was, we're glad you're here, and we're glad that you're doing such great work and really in such a number of ways. Hearing those stories is always fascinating from our perspective as Chamber staff. It's good to know those things, and I think it just adds to our appreciation for you and the work you do at the United Way and the person you are as a Tallahassee citizen and as
yes.
a Chamber board member. And again, we appreciate you being here. And if people want to go learn more about the work going on at your organization, where should they go?
So they can go to uwbb.org and find more about what we're doing, and they'll also learn who's taking the lead on different things, and they can reach out to them so as well. And I have to say, even though I came here kicking and screaming, I got my Tallahassee Proud shirt, so
that's
I'm Tallahassee
it.
Proud.
Well, we're proud to have you and proud of all the work you do. And folks, like Katrina said, make sure to visit their website, learn as much as you can, and more importantly, give to the United Way. It's
yes.
an incredibly important resource in our community, and they're doing tremendous work helping those who need help. And Katrina, we are so grateful for you to come and spend a little time with us. Once again, Katrina Roll, President and CEO of the United Way of the Big Bend. We appreciate you being with us.
Thank you for having me. Take care.
Yes, thank you, Katrina. And for the listeners out there, don't forget you can always stay up to date with Chamber info on our website, talchamber.com. That's talchamber.com. And also by visiting our social media pages. Our handle is talchamber on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Be sure to check us out on there. And thanks again for joining us for another episode of the Chamber Podcast.